Over 2 million of the nation's 11 million undocumented immigrants have lived in the United States since childhood. Due to our current immigration system, they grow up to uncertain futures. In the new book, Lives in Limbo, Roberto Gonzalez introduces us to two groups. The college-goers, like Ricardo, who had good grades and a strong network of community support that propelled him to college and Dream Act organizing, but still landed in a factory job a few short years after graduation. And the other group, the early exiters, like Gabriel, who failed to make meaningful connections in high school and started navigating dead-end jobs, immigration checkpoints, and a world narrowly circumscribed by legal limitations. Roberto Gonzalez is assistant professor at Harvard University Graduate School of Education. His research focuses on the ways in which legal and educational institutions shape the everyday experiences of poor, minority, and immigrant youth along the life course. His new book is Lives in Limbo, Undocumented and Coming of Age in America. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Roberto Gonzalez to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Joe, thanks for having me.
Subtitle of the book, Undocumented and Coming of Age in America. What brought you to this subject?
Yeah, well, I had spent, between college and graduate school, I had spent time in Chicago. I lived and worked for 10 years in a youth program. I lived in a community. And over the years, in working with kids, I noticed that a lot of our families, our immigrant families, didn't have legal immigration status. And I noticed how that was playing out in the lives of kids who were integrated into the public school system from the moment they arrived. But as they moved forward in their schooling, as they turned 14, 15, 16 years old, as friends were getting driver's licenses, taking after-school jobs, starting to vote, thinking about college, getting financial aid for college, they weren't able to join them. So I had several experiences with young people in Chicago. And then when I moved to California for a graduate program, I started meeting many young adults with very similar stories, had come to the U.S. at 6 months old, 2 years old, 5 years old, had grown up side by side with American-born peers and friends, had been integrated into their schools just like their friends, had experiences that matched those of their friends, grew up to a daily Pledge of Allegiance, to watching Barney and the Power Rangers, going to Disneyland, prom. But again, as they moved forward, as they crossed into the threshold of adulthood, they were unable to participate in many of the adult, kind of defining adult rites of passage.
You talk about that in the book and really refer to it as hitting a brick wall of once these kids turn about 18 or so. What exactly happens and how is it first noticed, do you think?
Yeah, so they do. It's an intense experience that many of my respondents in my book went through. And I think that if you consider the ways in which these kids are integrated compared to that of their parents, so their parents who come to the U.S. to work end up in low-wage jobs, in precarious circumstances, learn very quickly, that it's important for them to make ends meet and to get home every day. They develop those survival skills. Their children, by contrast, and by virtue of the inclusion and legal inclusion in K through 12 schools, their experiences are a lot different. They go to school where their teachers encourage them to dream boldly and to work hard, and they internalize these ideals of meritocracy, that if they do work hard, if they dream boldly, if they play by the rules, that there will be something for them. But our laws treat children and adults differently, but they don't account for the continuity of children becoming adults. So while K through 12 is legally permissible for these young people, they can't legally work, they can't get driver's licenses in most states, they can't vote, they can't get financial aid for college. And so what you have both culturally and structurally amounts to a collision at 16, 17, 18 years old. Again, as friends are moving forward, but they're unable to join their friends as they kind of cross this threshold. One of the young people that I interviewed, he likened this experience to waking up to a nightmare. that everything that he thought about his future, his expectations, his aspirations, who he thought he was, his claims to belonging, all proved to be a very different reality as he moved through adolescence and young adulthood.
When you speak of reality, it's also what you know. And many of the people that you studied didn't know that they were in this country illegally until they got much older.
Yeah, that's correct. And you think about this, if we think about our childhood, and most aspects of childhood don't require kids to produce a birth certificate or to produce a social security number. And so because of that, because of legal inclusion in school, and because most aspects of childhood don't require a form of legal immigration status, many kids, I guess, you know, people say that ignorance is bliss, that, you know, kids go through their daily lives without much thought about their own immigration status. You know, many of them are certainly aware of their parents' immigration status and parental poverty and the struggles that their parents go through. But it's really for these kids only when matched up with these experiences of exclusion that their status become salient for them.
One of the examples that you gave in the book, and it's quite striking, that some of these kids are very high achieving. They do very well in high school. They do very well in the community, have civic leader positions. They go on to graduate from college. And as you say, though, that when it is all said and done and you looked at these individuals, they would often share similar work and experiences with those who were far less educated than they were.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that's unique, I guess two things unique about this study that developed into this book is that, one, I followed my respondents over a 12-year period. So I followed them from kind of their early 20s into their 30s. And two, I looked at two differently achieving groups of young people, a group of high achievers that I call college goers, and then a group of young people with less levels of education, those who left high school at around high school graduation or before. And so what I find that certainly we can expect that the high achievers, you know, right after college, their trajectories kind of continue to go forward in a positive direction. They made transitions from high school to their college campuses. They maintained relationships with other high-achieving peers. They were able to kind of preserve a legal buffer. College was legally permissible in their lives, and they're able to keep their hopes and aspirations up, whereas these early exiters left school to low-wage jobs, entry into back-breaking, difficult, grinding work, and responsibility to make ends meet, and the stress and frustration of all of that. But these groups, by their mid to late 20s, as the college goers ran out of school, and many of those in my sample, several dozen, graduated with or finished school with college degrees. Many of them, dozens of them, with bachelor's degrees, and a handful of them had gone on to get post-baccalaureate degrees in law, in social work, in public policy, and in planning. But without a change in their immigration status, without a change in our country's immigration laws, they found that they were out of school and they needed to start helping out their families. They needed to start taking care of themselves. And the only options available to these young people, who many of them had levels of education that far surpassed those of the average American, that they found themselves with few other options but to work in restaurants, to work in factories, to work in call centers, and other low-wage work.
I'm hoping you can put some of the initiatives that have been put on the table into some perspective. In November of 2014, President Obama announced a new administrative action to reform the U.S. immigration system. Also going back to 2012, there was the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival program that was announced. How do these initiatives impact the people that you studied, both positively and negatively?
Yeah, this is a really good question. So, the 2012 was an important point, I think, for many youngsters who had come to the U.S. as children. This Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that you mentioned of 2012, you know, we're now 3.5 years into this program, and 700,000 young people have this status, and as a result of this status, they've got temporary Social Security numbers, they've got work permits, they've got two-year renewable stays of deportation. And so this has been a big boost, particularly the work permits. So now there are hundreds of thousands of these young people who have taken giant steps towards the American mainstream. They're getting new jobs, they're increasing their earnings, they now have health care. Many of them now have driver's licenses. They're starting to earn credit. They're opening bank accounts and getting credit cards. And so this has been a very positive development for many of these young people. However, this is a program that doesn't take care of the federal exclusion from financial aid. So getting to college persisting remains a real difficult problem. And this is not through legislation, but rather an administrative program that could end. And so there's no pathway to citizenship for these young people, and this is a program that, with a new administration, with a new president, could very well end. So the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals has largely benefited younger undocumented students. Those who are in college or those who are fairly young. Many of my respondents are in the book are now in their 30s, and for many of them, this comes a little too little and a little too late, as even many of the college graduates who've been out for several years and face the unfortunate situation of having college degrees, wanting to make the most of that, but having been out working for several years in low-wage jobs and not having the kind of job experiences, the kind of job experience that they need for high-skilled jobs, and they're finding that many employers, many recruiters, prefer younger employees with internship experience, with real job experience in their related fields. And so this has been, I think the record on this deferred action program has been really mixed.
With the people that you have corresponded with and written about, is there a sense of optimism that change is possible?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that this optimism has buoyed a lot of these young people for several years. And I think that, you know, we're now 15 years away from the original introduction of the Federal Dream Act. And, you know, our policymakers like to say that change takes time, and we look historically, and any kind of progressive change has certainly taken time, and that policymaking is incremental. But, you know, these ideas don't square with the everyday lives of young people who've got to make ends meet, who are responsible for large shares of family bills, who are, you know, who find themselves constantly worrying. These young people are really the embodiment of Langston Hughes's dream deferred. And so I think that while many of the young people that I talked to at one point had very high hopes, you know, I think that hopes have started to dim, and many of these young people have started to, I think that as Jay McLeod several years ago so eloquently put it, have started to put a lid on hope.
The name of the book is Lives in Limbo, Undocumented and Coming of Age in America. The book is published by the University of California Press. Roberto Gonzalez, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Joe, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Roberto Gonzalez is assistant professor at Harvard University Graduate School of Education. The name of the book is Lives in Limbo, Undocumented and Coming of Age in America. The book is published by the University of California Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.